Okay, good evening, everybody. It's nice to see everybody again. We have of course continue to have in mind all the shvuyim, all of the hostages and all those who are suffering. And we hope for our zechut of our learning, and we hope for positive things in the future. So tonight we are going to study chapter 44, and maybe we'll get to the beginning or part of chapter 45. We'll see how much we can cover in the time allotted to us. I just want to note, next week, the first night of Hanukkah, I'm going to be traveling on a plane to visit my son in Israel. So there will be no class. And then the Wednesday after that, I'm also going to be traveling on a plane back to New York, so there will be no class as well. So no class during Hanukkah, both the beginning of Hanukkah and the end of Hanukkah. There'll be no class on the Rishon Shel Hanukkah and the Shemini Shel Hanukkah, Zot Hanukkah. And then we'll pick it up from there, Emir Tashem, and have hopefully as much uninterrupted shiurim as we can have. I want to go back and just emphasize a point that should be, constantly emphasized, given the fact that we are going tonight to see Yeshayahu come back to themes that are very familiar and that we've heard already a number of times in the first four chapters, chapter 40, 41, 42, 43, that we studied so far in our Shi'urim. And the reason for that is, first of all, anybody that's ever had raised a teenager knows that you have to say things 100 times. And even after you say things 100 times, you have to say it 101 times for anything to stick, especially if there is a gap of time between the first time you said something and the second time you said something. There's no doubt in my mind that the Nevuot, even though we read them consecutively, one after the other, in the book, the Nevuot were probably recited, said, in the space of different times. Just like we know, some Nevuot, we come with a header and they tell us, this was said in the third year of this and this king in the following place. And then we have another Nevuah, which is similar, which says, this was said in the 10th year, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes the Nevi'im did not have a superscription, or the book, the editors didn't know exactly when they finally edited the book, exactly the date and the time when a certain Nevuah had been said. But it was probably said, as I said, if one believes that the second half of Yeshayahu from Perek Mem was said, were Nevuot that were recorded during the time of Galut Bavel, when the Jews are sitting in Bavel and they are ensconced in Bavel, but in the back of their mind, some of them want to go back to Eretz Yisrael, some of them still have the hope, the tikvah. On the other hand, many of them have become settled in Eretz Bavel. We know from a number of extra biblical sources, there was even a town in Babylonia called Yahud, which was a town full of Jews. And it was called Al Yahud. It was called, I mean, it wasn't in Arabic then, but it was known as the Jewish town. And we know that we've discovered documents, marriage documents from them. People were very settled there. On the other hand, the Navi is trying to encourage them to think about the future, encourage them to think about what's going to happen, and to prophesy for the future, especially as the Persians are starting to become more and more powerful in the east and eventually will take over the Babylonian Empire. But we're in that liminal period between, the destruction of the temple and the downfall of Babel. In those 70 years, somewhere in the middle there, a series of Nevuot that Yeshayahu keeps giving, and the same themes he comes back to again and again, and again we'll see them tonight. We've seen them already. Am Yisrael as servant, Eved Hashem, number one. Number two, the uniqueness of God, that God is not like any other gods. Number three, the making fun of the Elilim, of the idols, which was a very common, Babylon was saturated with idols and idol worship. And we actually have extra biblical descriptions of all kinds of rituals related to the parading of the idols on the Rosh Hashanah of the Babylonians, how they made idols, how they, so to speak, made the idol and then inspired it to, so to speak, now have the divine presence in it as they understood it. The famous ritual of the opening of the mouth, which is described in many, many extra biblical sources describing idol worship. And so we have a lot of that, very similar to Yitziat Mitzrayim. In Yitziat Mitzrayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu says a number of times, "Ube'elohei Mitzrayim e'eseh shvatim," I will bring down the gods of Egypt. And of course, also, he destroys any semblance of power of the Chartumim, of the Kosmim, of the Kohanim of Paro, all of the priests of Paro. And here too, those who make the idols, those who worship the idols, are going to be made fun of and destroyed. That's another trope that we've seen again and again. And of course, the idea that God can predict the future. And that's a constant theme, again, showing the aminut, the trustworthiness of God, because God has told the prophets things that actually came to be. God predicted the destruction of the 10 tribes, the exile of the 10 tribes. God predicted the destruction of Jerusalem. God predicted the exile of the Jewish people to Babylon. And many other predictions that came true. That's what's called harishonot, the early things. That's a term that's used. And so because God and no other prophet, no other religion that they have encountered has such a good track record, that itself shows the aminut, the trustworthiness of God. And because God is trustworthy, you should also believe him what he says here, ha'achronot, what's going to happen now in the future. So those themes are repeated over and over again in these first 8 to 10 chapters before it moves to pure, pure nechama of the Jewish people, interspersed with these nevuot of Nechama and Geulah and the destruction and the making fun of the idols and the redemption of the Jewish people, and to believe that that will actually happen, is also, of course, coming back and forth, is tochacha, is reproof. Reproof on two levels. Level number one is because God wants you to understand how you got into Galut, and so you won't get yourself back into that kind of pickle, number one. And number two, God wants the people who don't believe that the Geula will come to start to believe that the Geula will come. And those who ignored the Nevi'im in the past should learn from the past not to ignore what the Nevi'im are saying now, and to trust in God and get yourself ready to go back to Eretz Yisrael, all those things. So it's a constant cycle of very positive nevuot together with tochacha, remembering why you got into this pickle, and number two, what the future holds. So now we can turn to chapter 45. I'm gonna use the Machon Mamre of both Hebrew and English, because there's in the middle, especially there's some more technical terms that I don't want to spend too much time in terms of discussing. But the first part of this Nevuah, we'll see that this perek is kind of structured with a kind of intro, which is very, very positive, and a bracha. We'll see it's a double bracha of Am Yisrael. And the last two parts of the Nevuah are also very, structured around that. And in the middle is a lengthy, lengthy passage of la'ag, of disdain, of mockingness to the idols and the idol worshippers and the power of the idols. So it's kind of an envelope structure of the first part and the last two parts. And then the middle, the biggest part is really a lengthy discourse on the making of idols and the destruction of idols. And maybe, okay. So let's take a look here at this first unit, which, from Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk Hey, which again starts with the theme of Am Yisrael as Eved Hashem. V'ata Shema Yaakov Avdi V'Yisrael Bacharti Bo. Right? We've seen this before, the theme of Am Yisrael as Eved. Oh, I'm sorry, I want to go back. Am Yisrael as, again, the theme of Komar Hashem Boracha Yaakov V'Yotzrecha Yisrael. Again, the use of both terms of Yisrael and Yaakov, Yaakov and Yisrael. It's interesting. There is no anymore. There is no mention of Yehuda and Yisrael. That's, so to speak, gone from the discussion. Maybe by this time, it's already, there's no more hope at this point of restoring the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes have become so assimilated into Assyrian culture. The Assyrians are long dead. The Jews have assimilated, and therefore there's no more discussion anymore. In fact, we only know subsequently, very little. There's no mention really of the other tribes. When we go, in the subsequent books of Tanakh, during this period of time, when we talk about Megillat Esther, for example, it talks about Yehuda and Binyamin, which, so to speak, are together. The book of Daniel also, which is also during this period of time, at least it's placed during this period of time of the last years of Babel. There is no discussion about Yisrael, and there's very little discussion about the tribes. Even in the book of Yechezkel, it's a very far off messianic vision of the restoration of Yehuda and Yisrael. But in the here and now, there is no discussion about the tribes. There is no discussion about, Naphtali or Zevulun or Yisachar. Again, that's an important point. But again, the framework of Avdi and Bechiri, we already saw it in chapter 42. We saw in chapter 41 also hints of that, but explicitly we saw it in chapter, as I said, chapter 42, Hein Avdi etmoch bo bechiri ratzta nafshi. And so now we start with a similar idea. Ata Shema Yaakov Avdi v'Yisrael bacharti bo. I'm Yisrael, who is my servant, the one who I've chosen. To be chosenness is to be servitude. Chosenness is not about getting all the goodies, getting a 20% discount, and being protected by God. To be chosen in the book of Isaiah is to have a calling, to be an Eved. Ko amar Hashem osecha yotzrecha ya'azrecha. So God who made you, created you from the womb, from the very outset of history, ya'azrecha, al tira avdi Yaakov, vishurun bacharti bo. Again, a synonym for Yisrael is Yishurun. Yishurun is used only one other time in Tanakh, which we all know from Simchat Torah. Vayhi Bishurun Melech, Bitasef Rasheyam, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. So Am Yisrael is Yaakov. Again, Eved and Bacharti Bo. What's interesting is God has made us. God has created us. God will help us. Okay. Also interesting, notice there's a slight shift in the tenses. Osecha, God who makes you. So it could be in the past, who made you. V'yotzrecha, God who made you. Ya'azrecha, who will help you. So there's a shift from the past to the future. If you look in the Qumran caves, one of the versions of Yeshayahu that they discovered has a different nusach. In the nusach in Qumran in Yeshayahu, what's called Megillat Yeshayahu Aleph, the first scroll of Yeshayahu, It has it Osecha, Yotzrecha, Ozrecha, which is wonderful. It's consistent. It's the one who made you, who fashioned you, and who helped you. But the Nusach that Chazal finally adopted is this Nusach, which again I think is very powerful as well. You break the past, because now we're talking about the future. It's not just the God who made us and shaped us, which again are themes that were discussed before. Pasuk 4, chapter 43, for example, Komar Hashem Boracha V'Yotzrecha, the God who created you and formed you. That is again a constant trope, but rather he will also help you in the future. Al tirav di Yaakov Yishrom. And now we get a biracha. Ki etzok mayim al tzamei. I'll pour water on the thirsty. Is it a reference to the land or is it a reference to the people? Little unclear. Rabbi English here, from 1917, this is the 1917 translation, assumes it's the land. V'nozlim al yabasha. But it could be a metaphor. I'm going to put water on that which is dry and liquid upon that which is yabasha. It's also interesting because what you have here is a reversal of Yitziat Mitzrayim, right? In Yitziat Mitzrayim, God took that which was liquid and streams and made it into Yabasha. Right? God turned the streams into Yabasha. Here, it's the opposite. Here, God is going to turn that which is dry, wet. Again, is it the idea that there's going to be a different kind of redemption, maybe because to come back from Babylon is to cross over deserts, what we call the Syrian desert. To come across the Syrian desert is you need water. So is that a hint here, as opposed to crossing a sea, which was Yitziat Mitzrayim? And then God continues on a spiritual level, Etzok ruchi al zarecha ubirchati al tzeetzaecha. I'm going to give my blessing to Am Yisrael. So God is going to give his blessing to the Zera and to the Tzetzaim, to the offspring, to the seed, etc. Vitzamchu bevein chatzir ka'aravim al yivlei mayim. They'll grow like the grass and like the aravot. Zeyomar ladonai ani v'zei yikra v'shem Yaakov. Ubeshem Yisrael Yechane. Again, two ways to read this. It could be that this is a reference to the Jews, that in the future they will once again identify with God. Zeyomar Ladunayani, Zeyikra Beshem Yaakov, and some they will adopt the name Yaakov. They won't hide themselves. They'll stop becoming assimilated in Babylon. Zeyichtov Yado Ladunai. He'll write his hand onto the Lord, which of course is, again, in the ancient world, you sometimes, until today, they would brand a slave. And so he's going to write on his hand that his hand is to God. Uvashem Yisrael Yechaneh. So is this a reference to Jews? Or is this last idea more universal? That it's a reference that even others who are not part of the Jewish collective will want to be called by the name of Israel. B'shem Yisrael Yechaneh is a reference to a kind of universal. There are some Parshanim and some modern writers who see this as a universal statement that all of the nations of the world will want to come and come under and be called and become part of Israel. Okay. So this is the first part of this Nevuah. Brachot and Avdut. The second part speaks of Hashem not only as the one who helped us, and not only one who created us, but the Redeemer theme. Ko amar Hashem, Melech Yisrael v'goalo, Adonai Tzvaot, ani rishon, v'ani acharon, u'mibaladai, ein Elohim. Okay? And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is once again the theme of Rishon and Acharon, which is a theme that has showed up many times, even in these first four chapters that we learned. So there is none who is like God. There's none besides me. There is no other God. Uniqueness of God, proven by the fact that God is from the beginning and the end. And how does that manifest itself? Umi chamoni yikra, v'yagideh v'yarchali mi sumi. Okay? And come, whoever can also predict the future should come and tell it. Meaning it's a mocking of the gods of the nation. Say, you too send your prophets and show your, show your, whatchamacallit. Is there any significance to Hashem supplying water in this in connection leaving Egypt who complained for water? Oh, that's a nice idea also that, Bnei Yisrael complained about the water and here they are receiving water. Might be. That's a beautiful idea as well. So start AI companion. Okay, great. I started AI companion. I don't know what. Okay. Okay. Now, so Ani Rishon, Ani Acharon, Balei Umi Baladai Ein Elohim. There is nobody else. Umi Chamoni Yikra VeYagideh VeYarchali Misumi. Who can set it up? Who can set it up? Am Olam. From the time I set up this ancient people, V'Otiot V'Asher Tavoni Yagidu Lamo. Come and let them declare. Let them declare, just like I have. Just like I told Yishayahu that the 10 tribes would be exiled and that happened. And I told Yishayahu the destruction of Shomron and it happened. And I told Yirmiyahu the destruction of Jerusalem and it happened. And I told, Shmuel the destruction of Shiloh and it happened. So come and declare and all kinds of other things. Al tifachadu v'al tirhu, don't be afraid. Halo miaz shishmeati v'igadati, v'atem edai. This is a very famous term. It's been adopted in other religions as well, right? And Christians talk about that they're going to be witnesses for God, right? There's even a religion that uses the word witness in their terms. But in what way are we witnesses? We're witnesses in the fact that we, clearly from context, we are witnesses because we can testify that throughout our history, the Nevi'im came, prophesied, and things that they prophesied came to be. The major things they prophesied came to be. So God has a very good track record. Atem Edai. Hayesh Elohai Mi Baladai, which is a nice little tzlil, a nice little play on words, and nice little sound. Atem Edai. Hayesh Eloha Mi Baladai. The Ein Tzur Baal Yada'ati. Again, the Baal Yada'ati. There's nobody who knows the future and has told the future like God. That is the end of this second section. First section, second section, very positive, very much about Am Yisrael as the servant of God. God will redeem the Jewish people. He is not only their creator, he's also Melech Yisrael v'Goalo. And if God is the Melech Yisrael v'Goalo, his track record is impeccable. There is nobody else like God because Am Yisrael can testify to that. In contrast to the greatness of God who created and is Rishon v'Acharon and Ein Elohim, in contrast, God, the Navi now, takes a lengthy attack on the whole industry of, as I said, the whole industry of creating idols. Idols, as I said, was a very big deal in Babylon at the time. And again, we shouldn't think that the people who created idols were so stupid. They weren't stupid people. They had a theology. When somebody makes an idol, when you just make the idol is not a god. There has to be a ritual that, and even after the ritual, the idol is not a god. It has the presence of God in it. It has the spirit of the god, not God, but the god that they're making in it. And there's a whole ritual to imbibe that spirit into into their God. In fact, if we, I can just, let me see if I can put this on so you can see an example of it, of the ritual. Let me see, let me stop my share for a second, and let me see if I can get this up, one of the examples. The ritual of the opening of the mouth, the idols in Babylonia. Okay. Okay, the opening, this is good. We'll just get it from, we can get it from this. Let's see from here. Let's see from, let's see how Wikipedia presents it. Okay, so let's just do this. Get back my Zoom. More. Share. Sorry. Share. Okay, so my from Wikipedia. Okay. Miss P. Very similar to Hebrew. P is like peh. Pi hachirot. Means the washing of the mouth. Is an ancient Mesopotamian ritual and incantation for the cultic induction or vivification. Vivification is a fancy way of saying turning it on and inspiring it with life of a newly manufactured divine idol. It involved around 11 stages in the city, countryside, a temple, the workshop, a procession to the river, then inside the riverbank, etc., etc., into the gates of the temple, etc., etc., and then all these things. So we have one late Babylonian and one early Assyrian, etc. Okay? And although... Okay? And a reference to a ritual, the opening of the mouth of the statue of the deified may represent. And mouthwashing is mentioned during the Middle Babylonian period. That's us. Middle Babylonian period is... 580, 550, that's what we're talking about. Okay? The rituals are for the consecration of a cultic image, a statue formed from a wooden core, encased in gold and silver, decorated with inlaid precious stones, and dressed in robes. They involve the washing of the mouth on the first day to cleanse the statue of all traces of human contamination in the production of the idol. Right? Tomei! The idol maker... It's Tomei. He's just human. So you have to transform the idol and allow it to be the essence of the god to enter into the idol. Okay? Sacraments which may be related to the Pit Uzni, ear opening ceremony, the Ozen. On this day, be present for the statue which stands, grant him the destiny that his mouth may eat, that his ears might hear. So the idol will hear the prayers of and the entreaties of the subjects. The rituals facilitate the idol taking on the persona of the deity, awakening the supernatural force in it, and enabling it to see, act, eat, and drink the offerings and smell the incense. Okay? And you have here descriptions of it. So this was a very common in Babylonia. So now if we let me get back my Isaiah. Now where's my Isaiah? Let's close this. Okay, and now let's open it. So now we're in the middle, and you'll see, I believe you have echoes of mocking of the rituals that they were familiar with. The Navi was familiar with, the people were familiar with. So he talks to the people who create the idols. God created Am Yisrael. Remember. Komar Hashem Osecha V'yotzrecha Mibeten. God who formed you in the womb. Just like if you remember the beginning of the book of Jeremiah. Beterem
etzartecha babeten babeten etzarcha. I created you in the womb. It was a dedication nevuah. Here too, there's a dedication nevuah of Am Yisrael that they are the servant of God. That's how Am Yisrael was dedicated. God said, "You were my servants." The people are servants of God. On the other hand, the idol makers, Yotzrei Pesel, they are the ones who create the gods, right? Paganism is God in man's image. Monotheism is man in God's image. Yotzrei Pesel, Kulam Tohu, they're all nothingness. V'chamudeyem Balyo, all their beautiful things. They put on all these beautiful robes on them. They put on gold and silver. They're nothing. Ve'edehem Hema, Bal Yiru, Ubal Yedu, Leman Yevoshu. And their witnesses, again, the contrast, B'nei Yisrael, Atem Edai, you are my witnesses to share with the world, Atem Edai, Ne'um Hashem. Atem Edai, but Edeyem Hema, Bal Yiru, Ubal Yedu, Leman Yevoshu. And their own witnesses, they see not, they know not, because they will ultimately be shamed. So this is a reference to the idol worshippers. They don't see the idols predicting anything. Nothing that the idols and the idol worshippers say will come to naught. Miatzar El, contrast to God who creates the people. Who is it that has the gall to create a god? Upesel nasach levilti ho'il, and makes, like, you know, egel masecha, who makes a molten image that has nothing, that achieves nothing. Hein kol chaverav yevoshu, all of its fellows, all of its friends will be ashamed. V'charashim heima me'adam. Yitkabtsu kulam yamodu, yifchadu yevoshu yachad. Three times, they will be shamed. They will be dissed. Leman yevoshu, kol chaverav yevoshu, yifchadu yevoshu yachad. They shall be shamed altogether. That's the introduction. All these people who create gods, instead of God creating man in his image, people create gods in their image. Beautiful idols with robes and gold and silver. And now it describes the ridiculousness of the process of making an idol. Behold, Charash Barzel Ma'atzad, the smith takes an axe. Ufal Bapecham, and he works with the coals. Uba Makavot Yitzrehu Vayifalehu, right? And he makes it. So he's the one who makes the idol as opposed to the idol making. And then here's the shtach. Bizroa kocho. He makes the idol with his own hand. Gam ra'ev ve'en koach. Lo shatamayim vayyaf. And in the end, he's hungry and he's tired. And you would think that making an idol, you know, you should get a little chupar. You should get protected by the God. The God should protect you and give you strength. Remember, Chevra, a major theme at the very beginning, at the beginning of Yeshayahu, at the end of chapter 40, when we started this entire section. So God said an interesting thing about those who trust in God. Halo yadata im lo shamata, Elohe olam Adonai borek tzot ha'aretz, lo yi'af v'lo yiga. God never gets weary. Notein layayif koach. God gives to the weak strength. Ula'ein onim otzmar yarbeh. And he gives courage and strength to those who have lost it. V'yi'afu ni'arim v'yigau. Young men, they get tired. U'bachorim kasholi kashelu. But those who trust in the Lord will always have renewed strength. Ya'alu Aver Kanisharim Yarutsu Velo Yigao Yelchu Velo Yafu. So anybody who serves the Lord properly with intent will never get tired. Notain Layaiv Koach. Lo Yigao Lo Yafu. On the other hand, here, the idol maker who's so devoted to making the idols and so lishma, he's making these beautiful idols, but he gets tired and nobody's there to help him. Gam ra'ei ve'ein koach, lo shata mayim vayaf. I think it's playing off of those psukim earlier in the story. Charash etzim natakav. So here we're talking about the metals that are getting ready for the idol. The carpenter, charash etzim natakav. He starts to prepare the wood. Yitareu basared. Yaseu bamikzoot v'machuga yitareu. Vayaseu kitavnit ish. He makes the idol in the form of a man. Kitiferet adam lashevet bayit. To dwell in the heichal, to dwell in the temple. Lichlorot lo arazim. What does he end up doing? He cuts down trees. Vayikach tirzave alone, the oak and the other tree. Vayametz lo ba'atzeyar nata'or megeshem yigadel. V'haya le'adam. But the same tree, here's the shtach, the same tree that he cuts down after he's nourished it and planted it and made a beautiful tree, from the same tree, half the tree he uses to make an idol, and the other half he uses it levaer. He uses it for fuel. Vayikach mehem vayachem. Af yasik ve'afal lachem. The other part he uses for fuel. Af yif'al el. And the other part, he makes it into a god. Asau fesel vayiskad lamo. Again, he's mocking. The same thing that you're using for mundane purposes, you then use the other half, it makes no sense. Chetzio saraf b'moesh. You burn half of it in the fire. And the other half, you make a mangal. You make it to coals. Yitzlet saliv yisbaf yachom v'yomar he'ach chamoti ra'iti ur. I'm very, and he says, I'm warm. Ushei rito. And the other part, le'el asa lipislo. He makes it into a god. Yizgod, yizgod lo v'yishtacho yipalelav v'yomar hatzileni ki eliyata. Save me, for you are my God. Again, he's making fun. Doesn't make any sense that the same thing that you use for all kinds of mundane purposes of making coals and making grill and making this and making fuel is the same thing that is now a god. Lo yad'u v'lo yavinu ki tachmer oteneim mi'askil b'sam. They truly don't understand how silly what they're doing is. V'lo yashiva libo v'lo dat v'lo tfuna. Again, lo yad'u v'lo yavinu, lo dat v'lo tfuna, chetzio, they don't even understand. And think to themselves, chetzio sarafti b'mo'esh v'afafiti al gechalav lechem. Half of the same wood that I used for a mangal and for fuel, v'yitro l'toy v'asa, and what's left, I made an abomination. L'bul eitz esgod. Ro'eh efer. Lev hutal hitau, v'lo yatzilet nafsho, v'lo yomar, halo sheker. He doesn't recognize that he has sheker bimini. In contrast to the Jew who has given himself fully to God, ze yomar ladunai ani v'ze yikra, ze yichtov yado ladunai, he writes his hand to God. Here, this guy doesn't understand and doesn't say, halo sheker bimini. My hand is outstretched in foolishness and in lying. So again, sharp contrast. Again, the idol worshiper of his time. Again, Yeshayahu is mocking the idol worshiper. The idol worshiper would have probably responded to Yeshayahu, hey, I don't just think I know it's a tree. I know it's wood, but I do the ritual of the washing of the mouth, and I do the ritual, etc., and that brings the spirit of the God into, yes, it started as simply a piece of wood, but
it's now been endowed with the spirit of the God. Yeshayahu would have said, you know, back to them, that's foolishness. And again, it's man creating the God as opposed to God creating the human being and inspiring him with God's essence. Okay. Now we come to the envelope.
It's interesting, isn't it, that God, in the creation story of man names animals, everything he sees. So his mispi doesn't require a ritual.
Correct.
He has that ability when he shows that ability when he names what.
Correct. The human being, is B'Tselem Elokim, which is one of those very ambiguous phrases that throughout history has been debated. What it means, is it man's creative ability? Is it man's rational faculty? Is it the human being's ability to dominate nature? Is it the ability to have a conscience? All these different free will, whatever. But it also, he imitates God in using his power of speech to not create things, but to name things and give it its essence in that way. Yeah. We now come to the latter part of this beautiful perek. Zechor Eile Yaakov Yisrael Ki Avdiata. So we're closing the circle, right? V'yata Shema Yaakov Avdi V'Yisrael Bacharti Bo. And now we come back to that theme after we've taken we've shtacht, as they say, the idols and the idol worshippers and their beliefs. Zechor Eile Yaakov V'Yisrael Ki Avdiata. Yitzarticha Eved Liata Yisrael Lo Tanisheni. So don't forget me. Zechor Al Tishkach. Zechor Lo Tinasheni. Don't forget me. Remember that you're Avdi Ata, and I created you. You don't create me. And therefore, God says, I have, and I'm willing, and I'm ready. God is ready, willing, and able to wipe away your sins. God is ready to, God is ready to wipe away your sins. Machiti chav psha'echa v'chanan chatutecha. Shuva ilai ki ge'alticha. Just like in the beginning, he spoke about that God is Melech Yisrael v'goalo. He closes this part, this second to last part. Machiti chav psha'echa v'chanan shuva ilai ki ge'alticha. Ranu shamayim ki asa Adonai hariu tachtiot aretz. So the very creation should praise God. Pitzchu harim rina yar v'chol etzbo ki ga'al Adonai Yaakov Yisrael yitpa'ar. Because God is coming ready to redeem Jacob. He's coming to redeem Jacob, and therefore the whole of creation should praise God. Again, it's very nice. Instead of the Eitzim being turned into gods, the description here of taking the Eitzim, Atzei Ya'ar, Lichlot lo Arazim, Vaikach Tirzah, Vayametz lo Be'atzei Ya'ar, instead, here, just like we say in Kabbalat Shabbat, Pitzchu Harim Rina, Ya'ar V'chol Eitzbo. The Eitzim and the Ya'ar, instead of being turned into gods, are vehicles for praising the Lord. Nature itself understands that it was created by God. Ki asa Adonai, hariu tachtiot haaretz. The very lower parts of the earth should shout out, pitzchu arim rina, ya'ar v'chol etzbo, ki ga'al Adonai Yaakov, ubi Yisrael yitpa'ar. God will glorify himself through the history of the salvation of Am Yisrael. And it closes here in a very daring statement that introduces for the first time the imminent, up until this point, all the talk about Ge'ulah and redemption has been very generic. It's echoed the reality that I think is going on around it, the rise of Persia and the belief that this would happen. In chapter 41, it talked about a kind of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Mi he'ir mi mizrach, who has raised up the one from the east, at whose steps victory attended. God is being me'ir, the one from the east, but it doesn't say who is the one from the east. It's very vague. It's very ambiguous. What's going to happen? Something amazing is going to happen, but it's not yet been explained explicitly. Here, he finally comes to let the cat out of the bag at the end of this perek. So he says, Zechor Eliya, Ko Amar Hashem, Go Alecha V'Yotzrecha Mibaten. Again, the same theme, Redeemer and Creator. Anokhi Hashem Oseh Kol, Noteh Shamayim Levadi, Rokarts, Me'iti, I have created the world. Mefera Otot Badim V'Kosvim Yeholel. I basically show the total ridiculousness of the Kosmim, of the magicians. Meshiv Chachamim Achor V'Da'atam Yisakel. I turn back the quote-unquote wise men, just like he did in Egypt, where he turned Chachmei Paro and the Chartumim into foolishness. Mekim Dvar Avdo V'Atzat Malachav Yashlim. He will fulfill the word of his servant, either the Nevi'im or Am Yisrael, V'Atzat Malachav Yashlim. Ha'omer L'Yerushalayim Tushav. God now makes it very expensive. I am saying to Jerusalem, you will once again be settled. Ule'are Yehuda Tibanena V'Chorvoteha Akomeim. I will reestablish Jerusalem. Ha'omer Latsula Choravi V'Naharatayich Ovish Yitziat Mitzrayim. I say to the depths which were created. This is both creation and Yitziat Mitzrayim. In creation, God said, the sea will stop here, and the dry land will emerge and be here. Ha'omer latsula, charavi, stop, be dry. V'naharotayich, ovish, I will dry up your rivers. The same thing that he did Yitziat Mitzrayim. And now, the final blow, ha'omer, right? There's a couple of ha'omers. Ha'omer l'Yerushalayim tushav. Ha'omer latsula charavi. Ha'omer l'koresh ro'i. Who says to Koresh, you are my shepherd. V'chol cheftzi yashlim. V'leimor l'Yerushalayim tibaneh. V'heichal tivaseid. That my temple will be rebuilt. So it's not just Arei Yehuda. And it's not, he kind of holds back the pièce de résistance. V'leimor l'Yerushalayim tibaneh, it will be rebuilt. V'heichal tivaseid, and the temple, in his day, the hope was that during the time of Koresh, in fact, the temple would be rebuilt. Now, we know, historically, it did not happen in the time of Koresh. It took a couple of more decades. Part of that is because Am Yisrael was not ready. Much of Am Yisrael, as anybody that studies the beginning of the book of Ezra knows, chose not to go on Aliyah with Zerubbabel. And most of the Jewish community remained in Babel. And so there was a need to, give them a kick in the pants. Haggai and Zechariah are the prophets who encourage them that it's time to build the Beit HaMikdash. But there was a sense that it could have happened during the time of Koresh. Now, again, This is a classic example where God predicts something, but Am Yisrael and the people, if they don't live up to the challenge of the promise and do what they're supposed to do, you know, the promise is not fully fulfilled. And ultimately, it takes longer for the promise to be fulfilled. Could I please address the difference between the term Yeshua and the term Geulah? Again, I'm not an expert in biblical language. I will say that the word Geulah has a much broader use in the Bible. For example, Geulah is used in the context of land, right? That if you have to sell land because of poverty, then it's redeemed by your next of kinsmen. The Bible uses the term if somebody is murdered by killed by accident, there's the Goel Hadam, the blood guilt redeemer. So it seems to have a broader context. It means to redeem something that's, you know, shouldn't be there and to bring it back to its state, to its original state. Yeshua is, to my mind, used almost exclusively in what we would call, you know, kind of redemption. You know, Yeshuati, Yeshua is almost never used for anything else except, you know, kind of being saved from, you know, the Jewish people being saved from attack, the Jewish people being saved, being taken out of Egypt. Vayoshad Adonai b'emot Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim. But Geulah can be used in a more, the way we use it, redemption, and also like to redeem. Like you say, I'm going to redeem you from captivity. You also say, I'm going to redeem the value of this coupon. So the nuance is there. Again, I can't tell you exactly what the difference is, but I think, you know, it goes in that direction. Okay, with this we finish our study of chapter 24. It's a great perek. For the first time, Koresh is in the house. Cyrus is a player, and it tells you that, if you believe, you know, which I believe, if it's a predictive prophecy, this was a very heady time in the 550s, 540s, that the Navi would tell the people this directly. The question is whether it, as I said, whether it would play itself out fully in his day and his time. Again, for those who joined us late, next week, and the week after, I'm going to be in Israel, so there's no Shiurim. So I wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, a meaningful Hanukkah with family and friends, and wish everybody a good, everything, good week for the rest.
Nesiat tova.
Thank you very much. Toda rabah.
Laila tov.
And find your son safe.
Thank you so much.